Hi. I know a good many of you from talking at conferences and forums like this over the years. What I'm going to talk about today is not financial planning as such, but I believe it's one of the most important unexplored issues in financial planning today. And what I'm talking about in this 10 minutes or so is really just the tip of the iceberg. So please realise that. It's just the tip of the iceberg. Graham's called for a proper reassessment of retirement, and I totally agree with him. The issue I'm going to talk about is longevity risk. How long will I really live? Why? And how you or your clients might go to taking control of it. The majority of people who see a financial planner are likely to live longer than average. Why? Well, if you use the Australian life tables as being average, the average indicator, the Australian government actuary says you shouldn't be using those for giving individuals their life expectancy numbers. They're simply not designed to do it. I won't go bore you with the actuarial reasons, but they are not designed to be used as the industry is using them. And it's in the life table accompanying comments themselves, by the way. And a more appropriate actuarial calculation, one which takes account of the declining rate of mortality in our population, is used to calculate what are called cohort life expectancies. Now, that's the life expectancy of a group of people of the same age. And the better cohort life expectancy, or the more appropriate cohort life expectancy numbers, show you that the remaining life expectancies, in other words, the time you have left, it's important to focus on that, are about 10% more than the numbers you use typically in the life tables. So if you've got a 60-year-old person looking at an age, life expectancy in the life tables about 80, then you should be adding on, purely on actuarial grounds, at least another 10% on that 20 years. That's 2 to 3 years, isn't it? And because the people that you see are of a higher socioeconomic status, you should be adding at least another 10%. And if you just use those two numbers, you'd come up with numbers like this. I've put the life table numbers, and I've rounded them off to the nearest year, on the left, and for males and females. So if you're using 80 for a 50-year-old person, a more appropriate, let me put it that way, number would be 86. And if you're using, for a 70-year-old male, instead of 84, it should be 86. The gap narrows as people get older, and that's simply because of the way mortality calculations work. If you've got less time left, the advantage of declining mortality rates takes less time to kick in for you. But nevertheless, if you did nothing else, you should be using numbers like that. That's the starting point. Now, I've been interested in this for a long while. And over the last 2 or 3 years, I've been doing a lot more research on this whole issue because the research has become available. You say, why didn't we know more about this earlier? A lot of longitudinal studies have been done, particularly in the United States, in other countries, the UK, and they have begun to be published here in Australia. And so we have now evidence-based research, not speculation, not actuarial projections, to say what's going on with people. So I'm talking about, when I go down the track here, I'm talking about evidence-based research on what seems to influence the dramatic increase in longevity that we are already beginning to see. There's been major progress in five areas. We've grouped the research into five key areas: surroundings, health, attitude, parents, and eating. It's no accident that they form that acronym SHAPE. But if you look at each of those in turn, for surroundings, and I'll only dwell very briefly on them, but I've got a massive information to support what I'm saying. Essentially, we're talking about an environment which is friendly to you, both as you get older, it's kind to your bodies, For older people particularly, steps, not ramps, not steps. Exercise-friendly environment, living in a community environment. These are all things which have demonstrable effects on longevity, having a pet. And the general ambient environment in which you live. They are all factors which drive evidence base of increasing longevity or have an effect on longevity. If you look at health, we're talking about whether you have or don't have regular health checks. There are four things that kill people, pretty much. Circulatory diseases, cancer, the respiratory system, and the endocrine system. They're the four drivers of death, both for males and females. And so health checks on those aspects of your health is almost mandatory to get an increased benefit. You don't smoke, you do exercise, you have an active brain, and you manage your sleep. Now, they're all easily said, but there is a heck of a lot of now evidence-based research to show this has a measurable effect on longevity. If you talk about attitude, we talk about things like the self-perception of aging. There's a lovely study in Ohio done on 50-year-olds, study them over a period of more than 20 years. Those who have a positive perception of aging are living 7.5 years longer than those who don't. That's interesting, isn't it? 7.5 years, that's a lot at 50. The timing of deaths. How many of you know that the death rate drops at Christmas? It drops at before Easter. It drops before Passover. It drops before the Chinese New Year. And by the way, it dropped before Y2K as well. So there's been lovely studies published, not widely available in the popular press, because I don't know what it means. But all these things provide the support and evidence that attitude has a significant influence on longevity. By the way, how many of you knew that people who have life annuities on average live about 3 years longer than people that don't?
Take out two.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Now, that's at least 20 years old, that information. The life companies know much of this, by the way. They simply don't publish it because it's their intellectual property. And one of the things all these research reports have done is to put it out in the public forum. The problem is, how do you draw it together? Parents, yes, it accounts for about a third of the impact on longevity, your gene pool. And knowing whether your parents lived over 80 or over 90 and your perhaps your siblings, certainly your grandparents, those sorts of bits of information, if you can assemble those, you can become much more confident looking ahead at the sorts of numbers you might be contemplating. And finally, eating. Well, I include that, you know, what pills you take as well, because it all goes in the mouth, doesn't it? But things like statins for controlling cholesterol level and aspirin, they're all known. The impact of those, clearly documented, and the potential impact on longevity. If you're a vegetarian, you'll live longer on average. They're quite clear science now. Other things which are less clear, but you'll have been reading about in the popular press because they're more fun to write about. Coloured fruits and vegetables seem to make a contribution. Nuts are good, fish is good. 2 glasses of red wine a day is good, hooray. Doesn't work for white wine so well, and there's good reasons. So all of those things are involved in the research to try and produce a more useful tool for helping people understand their longevity. And understanding and acting on them is likely to extend the period of healthy ageing and your overall life expectancy. If you look at the range of findings that we have found in this research, for surroundings, if you take account and manage the surroundings, you are more likely to increase your longevity in the area of surroundings from the order of 1 to 2 years. For health, 2 to 5 years. For attitude, 2 to 5 years. For parents and your genetic pool, 4 to 10 years. If you understand and know how to interpret it, they're the sorts of bonuses you're reasonably likely to expect. And from your eating pattern, 2 to 5 years. That's what we know now. There's a raft of stuff coming out into the popular press in loose ways, but into the scientific press almost weekly, really excellent evidence-based research which support these sorts of numbers. Can we total those? Not quite. But there's even reports now where they've split the variables out, the factors out, and they've shown that they're significantly additive. This is good science stuff. It's not the popular press. So the conclusions from the SHAPE research that we have so far, that if you bring in all this information into a proper analytical database and you crunch the numbers effectively, we know that people who self-assess using this kind of information will be better informed about how to influence their own longevity. And the analyzer will produce better life expectancy numbers on which people can begin to plan. It'll be useful. It's not black and white, but it'll be useful and far more useful than diving into the life tables. So the analyzer has already been designed. And I don't know how we got that order of presentation there. But finally, an important point, because you're dealing with people that are thinking ahead, that's how they've self-selected out the average population, then well over half of your clients, well over half, are likely to outlive their age cohort average. And why shouldn't you be taking that account in the management of your relationship with them? If you use the sorts of work that we've done so far, they're the sort of indicated average age at death. And by the way, the range about that, the standard deviation is around about 20% on the remaining life expectancy. So for age now 50, we're talking about 42 is the expected average age with a standard deviation of around about 20% of 40, which is, whatever it is, eight years standard deviation. So 95% confidence limits within two standard deviations. That's the sort of information that we're now beginning to produce. By the way, there are some other issues, and I think it's about time we got them more clearly on the table and tried to make them more numerate. Women have a 10% greater remaining longevity than men of the same age. Now, we've known that. We see it in the life tables, and that proportion's pretty right. Men and women seem to have similar potential to influence their longevity. In other words, they've got the same ability to change things for themselves. They die from similar causes. But once you get to about 85, if you've survived that long, and even before then, men are significantly less disabled as they grow older. And their costs of maintenance appear to be lower. So we have the kind of a separation of circumstances where the men may live less long, but it's likely to be less expensive to maintain them, particularly as they grow older. There seems to be a kind of a watershed around about 85. If you get past 85, you kind of go on to the level ground for a while, and men are significantly less disabled. They're far less likely to go into retirement homes, and there's some really excellent stuff, into nursing care as well. There's some excellent stuff already being produced in Australia and published, as well as the cost of those circumstances. That's already on the table, folks. We should be really working hard to make it more widely accessible in our financial planning. So the conclusions, just I'd like to draw together from this little talk. People on average are living significantly longer than typical planners provide for. I know some of you say, well, I'll provide for 100 rather than 80. That's fine. It's probably better than nothing. But why should you be taking the risk of that number? Why don't you get the clients to produce the number? And that's what I'm working on, enabling clients to produce their own number, own their own circumstances, and then come to you and plug it into their financial planning discussion with you. So they own the journey, and there's a proper sense of commitment. And it takes the load off you. It's not your job to tell them how long they're living or how long they might live if they behave in certain ways. I'm trying to empower people to do it. People can influence their own personal outcomes. People should be providing their own longevity assessment to you, perhaps using our findings. And planners should encourage people to review their circumstances each time they review their basic strategy. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? My view is you start with the number, start with the likely age, and then work into what assets I've got and what I'm going to do about it. And by the way, women are far more vulnerable than men to financial and personal disability in retirement. So that's pretty much the guts of it. You'll be able to access this analyzer we're building. It's actually built. We're now testing it all by November. You can email me if you want to know more about it or come up and see me. But remember what I said at the beginning. What I've told you is just the tip of the iceberg. We're learning more and more about this. And let me promise you, the journey for most people is far longer than you or they have ever anticipated. Thank you very much.